Luke chapter 13, something interesting I saw. I was reading this recently. And so I prepared a message on it. When you find Luke 13, you can stand with me. I know you've been sitting way too long. Verse 11, down to and including verse 17. I will read it out loud. You just follow along. Luke chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for your miracle-working power that you had when you were here. And thank you, Lord, that you're still in that business. You still can perform miracles. And Lord, you perform a miracle every time somebody comes to the saving knowledge of you. Lord, we are so grateful today and thankful for the blessed book that we have in front of us. Thank you, Lord, for our Bibles. Thank you, Lord, for preserving your word down through all of these years. We still have a pure, perfect, preserved word today in front of us. Thank you for that. Give us some blessed time together now as we look at this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you just kind of turn the light on, the spiritual light in our minds and our hearts to receive the things that we need to receive. Lord, I pray that all the world things would be just erased from our minds. Lord, that we would concentrate on your word and concentrate on the things of you right now. Lord, speak to our hearts now, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about this woman and her infirmity. The woman and her infirmity. She had an infirmity of 18 years. Now, folks, can you imagine what she went through for 18 years? Being literally, the Bible says that she was just bowed. I mean, it was something probably like this. I don't know. But she couldn't straighten her body up at all. You get down there like this and try to even see in front of you. You can't even see in front of you. I can't imagine what her life was like during that time that her body was so inflicted. And the Bible says that Satan literally did that to her. Now that's hard to understand, but he has the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. Now as we go through this message, I don't want you to sit there thinking that everything wrong with you is an infliction by Satan himself. Because it's not. Right. Okay, it's not. I don't want you to sit there thinking that all of your inflictions that you have and all of the health problems you have is caused by God.
Right.
Because they're not. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we blame God for everything, or we blame the devil for everything. It's not if there's something wrong going on in your body, it does not mean it's God's fault. It does not mean it's the devil's fault.
Right.
We, because of sin, we are cursed, and now we go through sicknesses. We go through illnesses. We break bones. We get cut. We have cancer. We go through all kinds of different things that we go through. We get headaches. We get knee aches. We get shoulder aches. We get back aches. We get, I mean, you name it, we get it. And I noticed that as I get older, I have a few more of those. Because the body is breaking down slowly. Sometimes the body breaks down rapid. But that's just part, listen, getting sick, having an illness, going through these things is part of living.
Amen.
You got to understand that. It's just part of living. The day you were born, you started to die.
That's right.
And I've been dying for 68 years. And my forecast is death. That's my forecast. That's in my forecast. Now, I would hope and pray that Jesus comes back before my forecast comes to fruition with death. I would hope and pray that. How are we going to die? We don't know that. We're not given that in Scripture. But we all go through infirmities. We all go through trials and tribulations in our life. We all have aches and pains. We all suffer some way because of who we are and what we are, and because of the sin that was generated by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This is why we're like this today.
Amen.
We don't live the long life that they lived back in those days. There's been too many mutations down through the years, and life seems to be getting shorter and shorter. Instead of living for 900 plus years in the Old Testament, if we make it to 100, we're doing pretty good. If we make it to 80, we're doing pretty good. The Bible only gives us 70 and 10, and then anything beyond that is just pretty much a gift from God. This woman had this infirmity for 18 years. This infliction or affliction that she had continued a long time. This, to me, shows that this miracle was a real miracle. It wasn't a false thing. She wasn't playing a game for 18 years waiting for somebody to come along and heal her. Matter of fact, she never even asked for healing.
That's right.
We'll get into that here in a minute. This disease was not an artificial disease. She wasn't going around. She wasn't bowed together. She wasn't going to the synagogue every Saturday looking for sympathy. Mm-hmm. You know what we want so many times, so often? We want sympathy. And so, you know, we're walking around. Oh, I'm so in so much pain. Oh, I'm so sick. And so what are we looking for? We're looking for sympathy. We want somebody to feel sorry for us. We want somebody to come up and say, oh, I'm so sorry for you. And we want somebody to tell all of the things that are wrong with us. We want to tell everyone, we, hey, how are you feeling today? Oh, let me tell you how I feel today. And we go through the whole list of all of the things that's wrong with us. And we all have those things. And we all look kind of like to do that at times. This woman was different. And I want to share some things about her. There in the sanctuary is the place where the afflicted find comfort. I put a note on the side of my Bible. She was at the right place at the right time. Did she get the newscast from the local news station that Jesus was going to be in that synagogue that Saturday? I don't think so. Do you know where she was every Saturday?
Yeah. There you go. Amen.
Do you know where she was every time the synagogue had a service?
Right. There you go.
This woman, I don't know her name. Do we know her name? The woman with the 18-year infirmity. We have no idea what her name was. But every Saturday, that woman walked to church in her condition. Every Saturday, this woman made it to church. We would call it church. I know it's a synagogue, but just for today's sake of verbiage, every Saturday she made her way to church. Bowed together. Not able to stand up. Not able to do the things that other people would do. She did not go to the Sabbath or the synagogue on the Sabbath looking for sympathy. She went to be blessed by God Almighty. She went to the synagogue to get spiritually fed by whatever it is that was going to take place on that day at the synagogue. It just so happened that the Savior came by the synagogue that day. It just so happened that Jesus was there and met up with her and healed her of her infirmity. Where do you like to be on the Lord's Day? Today we don't celebrate on the Sabbath, and there's a whole study on that. There are some people that are so in tune or engrossed in the Sabbath day. It was an Old Testament Jewish day set aside for the Jews. It's interesting, when you study the New Testament, you see that the Sabbath is mentioned a certain number of times in the New Testament. It's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts, and then it like disappears. The Sabbath disappears. It's mentioned one time by Paul the Apostle in Colossians. That's it. If it was so important for people to meet on the Sabbath, don't you think Paul the Apostle, the church planner, the missionary to the church, would have had that mentioned somewhere in his writings? It's not there. We meet today on the Lord's Day. Paul, they talk about it being the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week, so we meet today. We meet because in honor of Jesus Christ's resurrection.
Amen.
That's why we meet on today's language. We call it Sunday, but it's the Lord's Day, first day of the week. So, again, where do you like to be on Sunday, the Lord's Day? Where do you like to be? Now, some of you will say church. Some of you can't answer that because it's a hit-and-miss thing. If you have time to come to church, you'll come. If you have nothing else better to do, you'll come to church. Some of you, it's just a habit to be here on Sundays. Yeah. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Even some of you come back on a Wednesday night. Yeah. I don't know why you do that, but you're here. Even bodily infirmities, unless they be extremely grievous, should not keep us from public worship on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Now, today, in this society that we live in, with Christianity today, and I'll use quotes around that, every little thing keeps people away from the house of God. Mm-hmm. Or it seems that it does. Little things keeps people away from going to church. When I look at this woman, they had this spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And yet, as far as I know, she was at the synagogue every single Sabbath day. If anybody had a good excuse to stay home from church or from the Sabbath or from the synagogue, it would have been this woman of 18 years. Right? Would you agree with that? Today, if you had anything that serious, some people would never, ever even show up to church
right. With
something that... They'd be embarrassed. They would say they can't come, they can't sit, they can't worship, they can't, because they're just thinking about their pain and their suffering and whatever it is that they're going through. But this woman, it did not keep her from going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. She was still going to church, as we would say today. Do you know that when you go to church, God can help you beyond your expectations? I want to give you several things here that I just jotted down about this situation. I think you might find a few of them interesting. The first thing that we see, and if you want to keep notes, jot these things down. Number one, we see the reason. In verse 11, there was the spirit of infirmity. Her affliction, or you might say infliction, caused by Satan was incredible. Her affliction that she had was great, as I've already talked about it a little bit. Now, you might ask the question, well, why? And I've asked this question, why did this woman have the spirit of infirmity? Do you ever look at that and wonder why that is?
Yeah.
Why Jesus even says in verse 16, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud, but just think. Why did Satan bind her for 18 years? Think about that. Why would Satan do that? He doesn't always do that. Why this woman? Can I give you seven reasons why I think he bound this woman?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a man in the Old Testament by the name of Job?
Yeah.
You remember what happened to Job?
Yeah.
If you don't remember, go back to Job chapter 1 real quick. Now, I'm going to be giving you what I think could be a reason why Satan bound this woman for 18 years up to the point until Jesus came by. Just going to give you my thought on this. I'm the preacher here. I can do that. Okay? But I want you to just go with me for a little bit here. In Job chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And of course, Satan answers in verse 9, and he answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not put a hedge about him?" And I'm just going to paraphrase and kind of for the sake of time. But you know the rest of the story. I would assume that the Lord gave Job permission to attack.
No.
The Lord, hang on. I can correct myself. The Lord gave Satan permission to attack Job. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. God gave permission for him to do that to Job. And we see in chapter 2 and verse 3 the same things going on. And of course, you know how Job loses everything. I mean, he lost his children. He lost all of his herd. It was a devastation that took place in his life. Just a complete devastation. Then in chapter 2, we see there in verse 3, "And the Lord said unto Satan," after Satan came and presented himself before the Lord, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" And then Satan goes out and attacks him with those boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. God again gave permission to Satan to do that to Job. And we know that Job, even though his wife tried to convince him to just curse God and die, Job never did that with his lips. He never verbally said. I mean, he was wondering about what in the world is going on in my life. He cursed the day that he was born, but he never cursed God. Job never did. He held his integrity as a man of God. He held his integrity even though he went through all of that stuff. Most of us in here could not deal with what Job went through.
Right.
We would have collapsed and just given up. Some, not all, and I'm not saying you personally, but some would have cursed God and wanted to die. Shame on us. But that, you don't know what you would go through if you went through something as extent with the intensity that Job went through. We come to this woman here in Luke 13. Why did Satan inflict her with this awful disease? Well, let me give you some reasons why I think that he did this. Number one, possibly because of her godliness and her faithfulness.
Amen.
Where do we find her on the Sabbath day? Mm-hmm. In her awful condition that she had. Where do we find her on the Sabbath day? In the synagogue. I don't think the preacher had to call her up every week and beg her to come to church. I don't think the preacher had to send her a text every week and beg her and plead with her to come. I don't think the preacher had to send out a text or an email or a letter and say, "Hey, we missed you last week." I think she was there every week. I think she was just there every week. You could count on this woman, this no-name woman, to be in the synagogue every Sabbath day without fail. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that this woman was a very godly woman. I don't have a lot of scripture to prove this, but I'm just telling you what I think. I think this woman was extremely faithful. Matter of fact, I wrote this down. Maybe she could have been the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament Job. But it's not recorded. Isn't that a possibility? She could be the New Testament equivalent of Job. Maybe there was a conversation one day in heaven with Satan and God about this woman. And God could have said something similar to that. "Well, have you considered my servant so-and-so?" Did you know that as far as I can tell, there was nobody else inflicted by Satan like this in the New Testament anywhere? There are a lot of things taking place that Satan was involved in, yes. But I couldn't find anybody else inflicted physically like this woman was inflicted by Satan himself. There are people that were possessed by Satan. She was never possessed by the devil. Right? She wasn't possessed by him. She was inflicted by Satan. He caused this pain and suffering to her physically, but he could never possess her because she was so faithful to God. Job was never possessed by Satan. He was never possessed by the devil, but he was inflicted by the devil. To be inflicted bodily and physically and with all of the things that happened around him. But Satan could not possess her and control her. I'm sure that he would have liked to. But God prevented that. This woman was faithful. She was godly. She was there every Sabbath. Faithfully going to church or Sabbath, the synagogue, every week. Regardless of her condition, she was always faithful. She probably got up every morning and said, "I just don't feel like doing this today. I'm having a hard time today. I'm having a tough time just getting around. Why do I have to go to the synagogue today? I'm having a hard time getting around. Why do I have to go to church this morning?" God will understand. That's what so many people say. God will understand. I wonder when people say that, does God really understand?
Yeah.
But we say that, we like to throw God in the mix because we want to think that God will understand of our condition. This woman never had to do that. She never did want to do that. She really had a good excuse to stay home, right?
Yeah.
Admit it, she had a really good excuse. She was inflicted by the devil himself. She was bowed together where she couldn't even stand up. She couldn't straighten herself up. She couldn't look out and see people. She couldn't greet people like we can greet people today. She was afflicted horribly physically where she had a real hard time just walking down the street. I don't know how close she lived to the synagogue, but that's probably how she got around in those days, was walking to church. I know people today that's got a nice car, comfortable car, can't even get in it and drive to church. She had a good excuse to stay home, but she didn't. The other amazing thing about this story is she never asked to be healed. That amazes me. If she heard that Jesus was going to be in church, if she heard that Jesus was going to be in a synagogue, you would think that she would have walked up to him immediately and begged for healing. But I don't think she could even see him in her bowed condition. All she could see was down there. But she could hear and she could sense. She never asked to be healed. And the other thing I see about this, hold on, buckle your seatbelts. She never complained.
Mm-hmm.
She never complained. That I know of. That we know of. I don't think she was a complainer like some of us.
Yeah.
Some of us don't have to look too far to complain about things. We find things to complain about. Every little thing, every little ache, every little pain, every little whatever, we complain about. I don't ever see her complaining about her condition. 18 years. Come on, people. 18 years she was like this. Satan struck her somehow, some way. For 18 years she was in this condition. And yet she still, every single week, was at the synagogue. Not complaining. Probably was a blessing to people. That they could see, here's this woman coming into church, coming into the synagogue like this. And yet I'm complaining about things. I think she was an incredible encourager to people. I think she was a Barnabas before Barnabas came on the scene. Could we learn some lessons from this unnamed woman in Luke 13? Oh, we could learn a lot of them. Again, why Satan picked her and nobody else? caused this infirmity? I'm not sure. But I got my thoughts. And so here's the reason that we see that this woman was inflicted, whatever it was. But secondly, we see in verses 11 through 13, we see the remedy. The remedy. Here she is. She's at the synagogue. And immediately in verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him.
Amen.
And said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Yep. Jesus made the initial call to her.
That's right.
She didn't run to him. He ran to her.
Amen.
You know what I see here? I see that Jesus made sure he made it to the synagogue that day to meet the needs of at least one person in that synagogue.
Right.
How many times do we read in the Bible where Jesus went out of his way to meet the ministry or to meet the needs of one person?
Amen.
Travel across the Sea of Galilee in a storm to heal the maniac of Gadara of all of those devils and then go back to Capernaum again.
Amen.
Walk through Samaria, meet the needs, save the woman at the well there in John chapter 4, and then go on his way again. Does Jesus care about one person?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Does Jesus care about you? Yes. He always cares about us.
Amen.
Jesus went to the synagogue that day. I believe he knew ahead of time what he was going to do.
Amen. Good.
He sees that woman over there. He didn't run over to her. Did you notice that? He called her to him.
Yeah, that's good, preacher.
Amen.
And what did she do? She went.
That's right.
When Jesus calls you, do you go?
Right.
When Jesus taps on your heart, do you answer? You better.
Amen.
If you hear a little tap on your heart, you better say, "Yes, Lord, what can I do for you today?"
Amen.
He called her to him. When Jesus saw her, remember every time Jesus saw somebody, he had compassion on them?
Yeah.
Every time Jesus saw somebody, the Bible over and over again, when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. Well, he had compassion on this one woman that one day. He healed this one woman that one day. He met her physical need. I believe her spiritual need was already met. Or else she wouldn't have been in the synagogue every day with 18 years of infirmity. She already spiritually, she was doing fairly well spiritually.
Amen.
Now what she needed her physical sense taken care of. Her physical body was hindering her. But it didn't hinder her so much that she wasn't in church.
That's right.
What a lesson to learn from this woman. This no-name woman. You know, when I get to heaven, I want to meet this woman. I want to go up and shake her hand. I don't know if there'll be hugging in heaven, but, you know. But I want to meet this woman. I just want to thank her for her faithfulness. I want to thank her for being placed in the Word of God so everybody can see that it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to meet her someday, and I just want to thank her for her stick-to-itiveness. But the remedy was very simple. He saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." You know what the first thing she did when that took place? What's the first thing she did?
Glorified God.
Glorified God. She stood up. First time in 18 years, she stood up straight.
Yeah.
Wow, what a blessing.
Yeah.
She hasn't been able to stand up straight for 18 years, people. And all of a sudden, she's standing upright. She's standing straight. Looking at people maybe she hasn't been able to see for a long time. And I got to tell you, it's not in the Bible, but I think she had a great big smile on her face when that took place.
Yeah.
I think she did this. I think she's... I can move around. And she just knew where it came from. God did it. Jesus did it. They both were at the right place at the right time. She was there and he was there. He met her physical need, but her spiritual need was already being taken care of by her attending the synagogue every week. Listen, when you come to church every week, your spiritual needs can be met every time you come to church. You might have some physical needs that only God can deal with, and maybe you'll be stuck with that physical infirmity for the rest of your life. Many do. I have known people that have been healed by God down through the years. But the calling, we see this remedy was the calling. Christ reached out to her. And she didn't even ask to be healed. I think she was more concerned just to be at the synagogue for spiritual learning than to be healed physically. That's what I believe. That she cared more about her spiritual condition than her physical condition. Do you know that in America today that's reversed? In a lot of our Bible-believing churches, that's reversed. People are more concerned about their physical healing than they are their spiritual healing.
Right.
Too many people are more concerned about the way they feel physically than the way they feel spiritually. And we have a sick, I'm not saying us, you, me, I'm just saying we seem to have a church today, not this one, but the church in general, that is quite sick today and sickly because people are more concerned about the physical than they are the spiritual. She was more concerned about her spiritual than she was the physical. The healing. She was made straight. Wow. Do you know that Christ can help in every aspect of our lives?
Yeah.
You know, the Lord can straighten you out on a lot of things.
Yeah.
He's already straightened us out on a lot of things.
Yeah.
But God, Jesus Christ, can straighten out a marriage.
Right.
If it's in trouble.
Right.
Jesus Christ can straighten out a relationship if it's in trouble.
Right.
Jesus Christ can deal with any issue that we have spiritually. He can straighten us all out.
Right.
She stood up straight. What a picture of what the Lord can do, not just the physical aspect, but the spiritual aspect. And the relationship aspect. The Lord is the great salvager of all lives.
Amen.
He can take a life that is just in the gutter. I mean, it is just down and out. It is looks like there's no hope. And He can straighten that life out if you just let Him.
Amen.
Just got to let Him. Got to let Him work. Got to let Him deal with things. I did a little research into it. Do you know that the United States spends an estimated $2 trillion with a T? Do you know how much $1 trillion is? It's $1,000 billion. Do you know how much a billion is? $1,000,000,000. These numbers, these values don't compute with most of us. We hear the government talking all the time. I mean, we have a $30 trillion debt in America. $30 trillion we're in debt in America. This country is insane. It's in trouble. But the United States spends an estimated $2 trillion annually on health care in this country. $2 trillion. Everybody collectively out there taking care of their health care needs. Do you know how much money is given in churches across this country annually? Now, this is a big number, but compare it to the $50 billion. And that includes, the Catholics, that includes all supposed Christians out there that give any money to churches at all. They supposedly, it's about $50 billion people give to the ministries annually. $50 billion compared to $2 trillion? You can't even compare the two.
No.
What does that tell you? People care more about their health care than they do their spiritual care.
Uh-huh.
People care more about the physical aspect of their life than their spiritual aspect of their life. That's what that statistic tells me, anyway. That's an amazing amount of money that people spend on health care. Now, everybody is different. Maybe you don't spend that much. Maybe, But overall, that's all people seem to care about today, is their physical health. They'll do anything. I mean, they'll buy all the vitamins they can. They'll eat this and not eat that and drink this and not drink that. And we put tons of money into the healthcare system. And yet, what are we doing spiritually? And yet, many of our seats are empty today. There are people that could be in church that just don't go to church. But we're not the only church that has empty seats.
Right.
There's a lot of churches with empty seats this morning.
That's right. Come on.
It's because people care more about the physical aspect than they do the spiritual aspect. Jesus certainly looked at challenges everywhere he went. Jesus loved a good challenge. I'll tell you, this woman taking an infirmity 18 years was a challenge. How do you fix her? If doctors couldn't fix her and the healthcare system of that day, 2000, couldn't do anything for her, how are you going to help her? You couldn't just walk over to the woman and straighten her up. You grab the hold of her and straighten her up, her feet are going to go right up straight. I mean, there's nothing you could do to straighten her up. Her body, that's the way her body was. There's got to be a medical term for it, and I don't know. I don't care what it is. Most medical terms I can't even pronounce anyway. But I like what the Bible just says, bowed. Bowed together. I mean, this woman just could not straighten up. But as soon as Jesus laid his hands on her, showed her that personal touch that he gives. Some people say, well, what? Did Jesus have to put his hands on her to heal her? Oh, of course not. But what it showed was a personal touch to her. A personal touch by laying his hands on her. He may have just walked up and laid them on the back of her, whatever. But she was immediately healed. Now you figure 18 years in that position when you first stand up straight, there's got to be some bones cranking and cracking and making all kinds of noise there. And it's got to be painful, but not when she stood up.
Yeah, right.
Because when Jesus heals, he heals completely.
Amen.
And he healed completely. And then I'm amazed at the reaction in verse 14.
Yeah.
The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. You know that this man, this preacher, whoever, I don't know, he's the ruler of the synagogue. You know he could care less about her?
Right. Right.
All he cared about was the law. Fulfilling the law. You can't do any work on a Sabbath day, which that was the law back in those days. You couldn't do any work on a Sabbath day. Let me ask you, how much work did it take for Jesus to heal this woman? I didn't take a whole lot. He put his hands on her, okay, but he didn't have to do that. He only did that to show the personal touch. But he called her to him, and she came, and he healed her, and she stood up straight. But the guy, instead of praising the Lord and giving God the glory and say, wow, what a great miracle. Praise God. Everybody, look, this is Jesus. Here's the Messiah. We've been looking for him. Here he is. He had indignation in his heart. The arrogance. The ignorance. The pride of those in that synagogue. You know, sometimes trouble brews in a church. Trouble can brew in a church. You get a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of different personalities and thoughts and ideas on how this should take place and how we should do this ministry and what we should do here and what we should do over here. Listen, things can brew within a church. There can be indignation in a church. It better not happen here. Well, I'm here.
Come on.
I'll take care of it.
Right.
But trouble times can ruin a church. We need to be careful, folks, that we don't have indignation like this man did.
That's right.
I love Jesus' words in 15. Thou hypocrite.
Yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't. Jesus, you shouldn't have said that. That was politically incorrect.
Yeah.
Something I noticed in my Bible is God doesn't believe in political correctness.
That's right.
He calls it the way it is.
Right.
And he deals with the issue and the thing and the sin the way it is. And he calls it the way it should be called. Doesn't deal with God, there is no political correctness.
Right.
Jesus looked at this man and he just simply said, you're a hypocrite. Like it or not, that's what he called. Matter of fact, did you ever notice some of the... He went after the Pharisees one day, and I mean, I forget how many times he said, thou hypocrite, thou hypocrite. I mean, over and over, he just blasted them with what he was seeing them do in a religious manner. Sometimes we act like hypocrites. He just rebuked them, Jesus did. Doth not each one of you on a Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water it? Don't you do that? Don't you want your animal to get watered? Don't you do that? They did that. They were allowed to do that. They were allowed to feed their animal and they were allowed to water their animal. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, apparently she was a descendant of Abraham, she was a Jew, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? What is wrong with you, sir?
Yeah.
Isn't it better to have her loosed from this, from the grips of Satan, than to have her continue and wait for another day when I'm not going to be here anyway? Boy, he just rebuked him. How often do we need a good rebuking?
Oh, boy.
We complain about things going on in the church. People down through the years have complained about this and complained about that. And we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. And we're just a bunch of complainers. Just a whole bunch of complainers. That's all we are, really. Complainers in flesh. Shame on us. But in verse 17, there is some rejoicing going on. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Well, there were some people that rejoiced. There's two reactions in every situation. You either love what you see or you don't like what you see.
Uh-huh.
You either give God the glory or you give yourself the glory. Either give God the glory or remove it from God and try to apply it to yourself. The adversaries were ashamed, and they should have been ashamed.
That's right.
The way that they acted and the things that they said. The rest of the people, they rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Him, Jesus Christ. Boy, when you see something good taking place for God, you need to rejoice for that and give God the glory. Who got the glory in this whole thing? Jesus Christ got the
glory. Amen.
He's the one that healed this woman of 18 years. He's the one that took care of her problem, her physical problem. He took care of that. But he looked beyond the physical and he saw the way that she was doing things spiritually. And even though Satan bound her for those 18 years, he came along and blessed her for her faithfulness and released her of that awful infirmity that she had. I'm not saying that's always going to be the case. You can be as faithful as you can be and still die with an infirmity.
Sure.
We all know that. Yep. We all know that that's the possibility. How many people have we known down through the years that pastors and missionaries that we have supported here have died because of cancer and other things? And I don't understand it. I see their faithfulness, I see their goodness, and I see the work that they were doing in certain countries, and I say, God, wow, why did you take them home? And only God knows the answer to that.
Right.
Pastor friends, last year, Hal Roscoe, Jeff Carpenter, other men died from problems with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Good men, pastoring good churches, good preachers, faithful men died. Don't understand it. And neither do you.
Nope.
And I don't pretend to understand it, and I can't put a label on everything that happened. But God knows what He's doing. I'm confident of that. And the Lord is in charge.
Right.
I know that.
Amen.
And I'll just leave it to the Lord.
Amen.
But folks, what a testimony this woman
is.
What a testimony. This woman. This no-name woman in the Bible. Just didn't have a name that we know of. But boy, I'll tell you what, she was special to the Lord. And the Lord saw her faithfulness all those years and He blessed her for her faithfulness. Let's not be complainers. You got a hangnail today. Yeah, it hurts. You got a big toe that you bumped. It hurts. My shoulders hurt. My back hurts. And this hurts and that hurts. Well, I just say, I'm getting older.
Yep.
I'm getting older. And my knee hurts. I'm leaning on this knee. It hurts. I'll lean over on this one. Oh, wait, that one hurts too. I don't know. you know what? One of these days, the body is just going to cease from working, and God's going to take it over.
Right.
And I also know in the forecast, we got a new one coming.
Yeah.
Praise God for that. Got a new body coming.
Yeah.
A brand new body.
Yeah.
Without flaw. Without aches. Without pains. Isn't that a blessing?
Yeah, right.
Got one coming. I think I'm going to be more handsome than I already am. Praise God for that. Lord, just give me a new face. That's all I need. Give me some hair, maybe. Who said amen to that? I'll meet you outside soon as we're done here. Is that you, my brother? Is that you? My little brother. I can still take him. Why is your hand up, Jim?
I just wanted to tell you that growing old is only for the brave.
Amen. Amen. The brave and the serious. Amen. Jim knows that firsthand. But we all do. We all do. Folks, learn a lesson from this woman today. Please. If you don't take anything else from this message, just learn the lesson that she gave us in the Scriptures about her faithfulness. And you make a decision today in your own personal life to be faithful no matter what. No matter what. She was faithful no matter what. And she had a serious issue that she was dealing with every day of her life. It wasn't just Saturday that she was bowed together. Every day of the week she was like that. And she had to deal with that situation. I can't imagine what she went through. But I'm thankful that she's recorded in the Bible and that she was faithful. Father, thank you for this woman that we looked at today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to her. Some might ask her question why it took you 18 years, Lord, but everything is done in your timing.